All right, here we go. Let's get started. All right, parable of the wheat and the tares. So far, in Matthew chapter 13, we've looked at this. Just some review because we really finished most of the verses. The parable and explanation. The householder, the man, Jesus is the one who plants the good seed in the world. The field is the world as it is now. And what he says in this parable is there are kingdom kids. And I think last week I gave the term, I don't know if it's a Chuck original, the saints and the ain'ts. All right, there you go. You got saints and ain'ts. All right. And he says that they represent the good seed or the kingdom kids. And then you got the kids from the devil, which means they're planted in there too. They're the wicked one. I opened this up with the inmates today, and just the harvest represents the judgment to come, and the angels reap the harvest. I love this parable because our focus has been on the servants. And I never really analyzed the servants, and the servants ask questions, and the servants wake up and go, hey, this wasn't in our plan. And they ask the Lord, is the word really good? It worked. I opened this up with the inmates today, and you know, I asked the question. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and
be glad
in it. And you wake up and you're expecting good things at the end of the day and throughout the day, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you see these tares, these problems that you know you didn't expect. And the servants come back and say, "Hey, is this really the day that the Lord has made? That I can rejoice because there's some stuff happening in my life that I'm seeing out here that's taking my joy away." And the explanation is the seed is good. It's just the enemy is trying to, you know, get in the way, but the plan is still in effect. And I just love this. And if you could just imagine the inmates just listening to this saying, where I am right now is not according to the plan. But no matter, as long as I'm lined up with God and I'm in that good seed, in that good field or whatever, I can be converted. And God's plans are still in effect for me. I can rejoice even though there's tears in the field because God's plan still is going to win. I mean, that's just hope. That's just awesome or whatever. I woke up this morning. I was in a very good place. I was going to go out to the prison a little early. Everything was lined up just right. I'm doing my routine. I'm in the good ground. I'm in the good ground. And everything's going good. And I'm going to Starbucks. And there's two Starbucks. I don't know why they put Starbucks on top of each other. But anyway, I got a Starbucks over here. And these chicks got a Starbucks down the road there. And I go down to the Starbucks down the road. I got $2 in my pocket to put into the barista little tip thing or whatever. And I slide in there. And I'm ahead of schedule so I can hang out with the guys a little bit, and all of a sudden there's a line. There is never a line at this time in the morning when I go by at this Starbucks or whatever. All of a sudden there's a line there, and I'm like, man, I should have went to the other Starbucks. And then, you know, blah, blah, and I'm just going through. Where am I at in the soils? Because now I'm like, man, I'm not going to get there early. Man, I ain't going to be able to spend time with the guys in advance like I thought. Man, I might even get there on time.
Man, God may have been protecting you from a wreck down the road.
Man, I thought about that, but I still had fear. I was going to get there on time.
Man, what? You should have left it.
That would be a, well, you know, I thought about it, then, you know, but then I'm like, but then I would be admitting that I made a mistake. I'm going to sit it out and just sit here and worry and complain. Where am I? Am I in the good ground still?
No.
I'm not in the good ground. What must I do?
Start at number one.
And so somebody, and you helped me out because, you know, when I was driving in late, you know, you said, did you call in the Lord? No, I didn't call in the Lord. So in the parking lot of Starbucks in the drive-thru, I called on the Lord, humbled myself, said, Lord, I need you. Two, I repent of the fear and the doubt and the complaint. Three, my hope is in you that you'll get me back to the prison as soon as I need. Whatever time I get there, let it not be too late to be right on time. And I sat there in that line and got my peace back. Now, I get the banana nut bread and a tall white chocolate mocha.
You know how many calories is in that white chocolate mocha?
Do you see how thin I am? Instead of a tall, I should be getting the grande. But anyway. So I get there, and normally they'll ask me if I want the bread warm. And I'm like, oh, no. He didn't ask me if I want my banana nut bread warm. I'm like, uh-oh, it's going to be cold. I'm like, oh, now I'm worried about whether the banana nut bread is going to be cold. I know, just pray for me. You know. And so I get to the window. I'm like, I wonder if it's going to be cold. And I feel it. I'm like, yep, it ain't warm. It's cold. You know. And I'm like, I had $2 there to put in the barista thing. I'm like, well, look like you're going to lose a dollar because you didn't ask. All right, where am I? I'm jumping around, but what do I have? What level do I need to be in order to give him $2 that he don't deserve? Because my banana bread ain't warm. Mercy, which is step number 5, which means I still gotta humble myself, repent for me, taking a dollar from this dude, put my hope in the Lord, be led by the Spirit. What gives God glory? The dollar or the $2? And then give by mercy, give him the $2 that he does not deserve, and let God be glorified because he gave me cold banana nut bread. Let me tell you something. You might be laughing at me, but it's the little foxes that'll keep you out of the good ground. And then as soon as I left Starbucks feeling real good about myself, somebody is in the right lane to make that right turn so they can get on the interstate. I get right behind them. Then all of a sudden they want to change their mind and turn over and get into the left lane. Well, the light is red. And I ain't got enough room to get around and make the right turn. So now I want to pull up to this person and find out, how come you can't make up your mind when you know a brother's in a hurry? What? What ground? The devil is working against me to get to the prison on time. Where am I at now? I got out the good ground again. Okay, anyway. So, stay in the good ground. All right. Here's the analysis of the wheat and the tares. See, y'all think it's just Al that bothers me, that keeps me out of the good. There are good Christians planted in good ground, and Christ is in them. Got it? Amen. And I think most of them are in this classroom right now. Tares start out looking similar to wheat. And there are folks who may call themselves Christians, and they may look like Christians and hang out where other Christians hang out. But they are from the devil, or their influence are used by the devil, rather than being true followers of and from Jesus. Got it? That's what the parable says. All right, these false believers are deceived and used by the devil. They may or may not be aware of their being used by the devil. All right, time eventually will show who the real deal is. Judgment's coming. Got it? All right. The tares are smaller and weaker than wheat, so I would expect that spiritually these ain't going to be really rooted and grounded in the Word of God. All right. Now, in the story, the man says if you remove the tares, some good seeds of Christians will get uprooted as well. That's important. We need to understand our role as servants. And it is not to uproot the weeds. It's where it gets difficult. Does judgment await the tares? Yes. Everybody wants to talk about God being a God of love. He's also a God of judgment. Let's not miss that. Judgment is coming. If there's something, that's what that, these parables, the judgment is coming. All right. I read a little bit about Christianity.com. David Guzik or whatever said God's job is dividing and judgment. I love what Spurgeon says. I highlighted it here because, you know, there's some obvious stuff that ain't tares. I mean, it's just bald-faced lies right off the bat. I mean, you know. And he says, magistrates and churches may remove the openly wicked from their society and outwardly good who are inwardly worthless, they must leave. For the judging of hearts is beyond their sphere. That's what Spurgeon says. So that's heavy. And this is really taking a toll on me because I used to be one of those judgmental folk up until last week. that, you know, I'll send you to hell in a minute. All right, so We got to be careful not to take on the job that God has designed for his angels to perform. So I've got to stay planted in the good ground, because I've already sent a bad driver to hell. I've already sent a barista over there to the fringes of Hades. I mean, you know, I got to stay in the good ground. All right, that's judging. All right, here you go. All right, we got some scriptural references here. I'm not going to cover them today, but judgment is coming, and we may hit these later. I may pick on Al or whatever, since he ain't doing nothing over there. But these are some scriptures that I highlighted that talk about the judgment that's going to come. I mean, it's going to come. Mm-hmm. So I want us, we know what's coming. We'll hit these scriptures again, because I don't know how quickly we'll get through this or whatever. All right. There's a delay in judgment until the harvest. I keep thinking about 1 Peter. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 2. God is not slack concerning his promises. I mean, it's going to happen. Judgment's coming. But he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. And I love what Roger said last week. It was spot on when he gave his testimony. Hey, the wheat are with the tares. It is possible that a tare might be converted into wheat if they hang out with us long enough. And I love this testimony. It reminds me of my dad's or whatever. You know, hey, I got saved when I was 50. So God in his mercy not only doesn't want good folk to be uprooted because we judge them wrong. Because if we judge wrong, somebody's going to go with them.
So to help us not judge, we can instead pray that they be converted.
And that's because they could be converted. Now, you also got to be careful that the tares don't convert the other
folks.
Right. So,
my father did not find the Lord until he was 70 plus. And I'm not
there you
sure
go.
Exactly when, because he was at my house one night. He had bad vision. He came out of the bathroom and he went to the little bed where he lay when he was come to visit, so I didn't have to go downstairs. But anyway, he started praying out loud. And he prayed for various family members and this and that. And at the end, he said, God save my soul. Amen. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay. Because all my growing up years, he was never in church. He was everything
right
on the left way here. And I just thought, he's going to go to hell. I mean, I wasn't even saved, but I was worried about his salvation. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, over a period of time, and by the time he did pass away, I found out that my cousin had been spending time with him, had been reading the Bible with him, answering questions, praying. He and his mother went to the hospital and asked him if he wanted to be baptized. This was a couple of days before he died. And he said yes. And the minister who came to do it said, I saw a change in his countenance that to me verified the fact of his salvation.
Amen.
And I've been praying for him for you just don't know.
You just don't know. Yeah. I like, again, not to give Roger all his credit so that he doesn't get prideful or whatever, and then all of a sudden lying about it. Right. But what he said last week was good. I don't know if I had it in my notes, but when I went back through and checked my commentary, oh, Norm, I forgot that what you sent me was just so powerful. Maybe before class ends, you can kind of share that or whatever, because I can't remember what to do. But in my study, I went back to my commentaries, and just to kind of validate that I'm not just trying to pump Roger up, he knows I'm not doing that. Matthew Henry said this. The tares contained under the means of grace may become good corn.
See, that's why we should be thankful that judgment is delayed.
Yes.
I am.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, amen. Yeah. And you know, we've gone through this before. We've seen this in the Old Testament. Why do they march 7 days around Jericho? They could have took it out on day one. They had 6 days to repent.
Yeah,
6 days to repent. All right. But that leads us to some questions. So we've hit all the scripture. We got the parable down. It's a hard application. Maybe. Maybe not. Here we go. What does a tare look like today?
I believe verse 41 just clearly says that a stumbling block.
Verse 41.
Anyone who is committing lawlessness, which is means against God's word, because when you're a tare, it's a stumbling block to growth.
Which do iniquity. So those, they take up space. Okay, gotcha. So what does a tear look like today? Those things that present stumbling blocks. Okay. I got some other questions here. How can we know the truth when there are so many different opinions and doctrines in the world and even in the church?
Well, as politically correct and everything, you know, you're not supposed to be single-minded, but we as Christians, we have to be single-minded in respect to salvation.
Okay.
There's only one thing. So the different opinions and doctrines,
doesn't mean a thing.
If they divert from if they divert from Scripture,
okay,
that's
God's word.
Even in the church, because we got some churches that are not really, I don't think, are part of
it. Starting to get good now. Here we go.
They're just a
stumbling block.
Well, yeah, they're fake. They're imposters. Well, Antichrist is the Antichrist, but the Antichrist is anybody that's
Antichrist
against Christ. There's lots of Antichrist, but there's the Antichrist later on. But
yep.
So we have to be single-minded in respect to salvation and Jesus Christ. There is no.
He's the way, the truth, and the life.
It's
gotcha.
A straight line.
All right.
So any opinions and doctrines that divert or change that.
Okay. Sandra, you gonna say something?
I just think we need to personally get into the Word and find out what the truth is ourselves.
Yeah. So here's where I'm going with this. Look at my questions. What does a tear look like today? How can we know the truth? All right. And the scriptures I want to go through that is in John. Because the Gospel of John, all it does is just talks about truth, 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 truth. And that truth comes through the Holy Spirit. But I want to go through the scriptures to do that. So, yes, Sandra, we're heading that way. Are the things we see and the teachings we hear good seed or tares? How can we know the truth and respond correctly? So that's almost the same question, and Roger's kind of addressed that. All right. And who are the tares that the devil plants today? So let me hit this a little bit. We touched on it a little bit last week or whatever. What does a tare look like today? There's so many different opinions and doctrines. And so I'll open this up, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but what do tares look like in the church today, in our opinion? And then I want to get into the Word. Let me just give you one. Hot button topics. What are the hot button topics in the world and in Christianity today? So I think I shared this last week. I'll share it again. So one of my minister friends, Kingdom Seeker, the Bishop of Kingdom Seeker, sent a video around about this guy preaching about Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis. And he came back saying, well, you know, it's not really homosexuality. It was really rape and violence. And I'm like, no, don't shake your head, no. He's right. Because they were going to violently pull those two men, who they didn't know were angels, out of the house and rape them. So his point was, you know, a lot of people tie, you know, homosexuality into that story of Sodom and Gomorrah, but in reality, it was against violence. And of course, all of us are against violence and rape. Amen.
No. The rape would have been an act of what?
Violence.
Yep. Homosexuality.
Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you the doctrine. So then he comes back in the sermon. I'm like, okay, I never looked at it that way, but I kind of see where you're going. All right. And then he went here. to indicate that we just need to love and that it's really not an indictment against homosexuality. Then I'm like, okay, I think you've just gone too far. Now, I think I told you last week, I got a very good friend that I went to high school with, and she's gay, and she's married to another woman. And she'll tell you all day long that she's a Christian and that she loves the Lord. And one of the arguments that she used with me was, Chuck, you really can't judge me. And I'm like, oh, let me go back to Sodom and Gomorrah, because, you know, your argument doesn't hold water, because even in Sodom and Gomorrah, when they came up against Lot, they said, look at this outsider's come in, and now he's judging us. And so the same argument that you're using there is the same argument that you're trying to use against me. And saints are going to be judges in the days to come. So you can't throw that. And so we're going back and forth. I have come to the place with my friend that I'm going to lovingly tell you the truth, but I'm not going to judge whether you're going to heaven or hell because of this. I'm just going to love you. And in fact, I got to be even careful in doing that, because she came down for a visit and we had this conversation, because I was going to get a church a few years ago. I'm not going to say the name of the church. I think I might have said all this before. And one of the first questions they interviewed me, because I was interviewing to be their pastor, my mentor said, just go through the process. So you go through the process. So I was being interviewed. I had preached there a couple times, and I was going to be interviewed for their pastor. And the first question they asked me was, are you open and affirming? I'm like, I'm very open. And I was sharing this with my friend. I am very open. I want anybody coming to my church. Homosexual, murderers, you know, embezzlers, fornicators, adulterers, come on. I want all of you. But if you want me to affirm them to be in charge of my ministry of music, I can't do that. My friend was offended because she said, oh, God, you just put us in the category of adulterers. And I'm like, so I'm just going to lovingly continue to love you. Now, we can pull all kinds of scripture that we want to. I'm just saying that doctrine is out there. And if you'll notice how things are happening, all right? Oh, homosexuality is not new. That's been around in Paul's time. That was very prevalent. But this parable, I don't want to say it's indicting. This parable I have to be careful with, and how I serve the kingdom when I've got all of this doctrine and stuff. In fact, years ago, if I did a Google search on scriptures with homosexuality about that, everything I see on that front page, those main hits, would be scriptures against it. Now when I go through and Google, there are scriptures that are supporting it. So there's been a shift. Yeah. And if we're not careful as servants, this parable, what it's telling me is, I'm not supposed to judge, and this is not a homosexuality thing. This is a right, wrong, sin thing or whatever, because, and we're going to look at it, and I don't know if we're going to get to it today. I hope we get to it today. But I want to go through some scriptures in Romans, because there's a clear warning there in Romans 1 and Romans 2 that says, hey, you may see it, but be careful how you judge, because if you judge incorrectly, you are just as guilty as the people who you are judging. So got to be careful as servants that we don't uproot the tares, because we might pull out some good folk, and Christ died. If he looks for the one versus the 99, he is very concerned about the ones that might get uprooted, because there's some things happening in the world, things happening in the church, that if you pull all of that out the wrong way and you judge incorrectly, good Christians, they're going to go right out the window. I'm going to stop talking for right now, and then I'm going to get into the scriptures like Sandra suggests, because I feel like I might be losing some folk here. but this has to be a safe place where we have this conversation, or else we will run out of this room, okay, and continue to, I don't want to say continue, and we might do something that servants are not supposed to be doing in accordance with what the kingdom expectation is. I know what I believe. I can pretty much tell what's right and wrong. We'll go through the scripture so I can make, discern that a little bit better. But I like what you said 2 weeks ago. It's about love. It's about love. Even Jesus showed love when people rejected him. Come on, the rich young ruler. You tell him the truth, but you still love him. Thoughts, comments before we get into the scripture.
Well, I just got one thing. That question that they asked you when you interviewed, if you said you were not inclusive, you wouldn't have anybody in the church.
Well, I am inclusive. Oh, you're saying if I had not? Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but
yeah.
A kleptomaniac, you don't put in charge of the treasury.
Right.
There you go. I mean, you have to discern. It doesn't mean that you don't love him.
No.
You love him by not putting him in charge.
You're putting him right there in front of all that.
Yeah, you're
oh, that's like a temptation. I agree with you. And if I'm running a church, because I don't want to put a stumbling block in front of you. And that's almost like if you're an alcoholic, you're not going to be in charge of the communion wine. All right, so let's.
Because
after you get through with the elements, everything, you don't throw it down the sink, you got to do it. So.
And if you did do that, it's just like when I was doing children's ministry. You do background checks before you put your
Absolutely.
People in children's
That's
ministry.
Just common sense.
One, because it's safe for the kids. Two, because you don't want to put a person that struggles with something like that in a position to be tempted.
So I'm looking out for
you. You don't want to put the money in the kleptomaniac's hands and tempt him to steal from him.
Absolutely.
I can remember. I'll be quiet.
No.
I can remember when my brother was alive and he was an addict, mm-hmm. and he was at the house helping me do some work, and he went into my bathroom to use the bathroom, and I had been sick and had medicine that mm-hmm. had codeine in it. Mm-hmm. Well, it was sitting on the counter where I had left it. And when he came out, half of what was in the container was gone. So I left something that he could see. Had it been in the cabinet, he'd probably never touched it.
Right.
I mean, it's just common sense.
Yep. And it's looking out for somebody. Now, let me point out a scripture that's popped in my mind. Judas. Wheat or tare?
Tare.
Thief? Or a good steward? Who handled the money?
Jesus.
That's not to say that you don't use good common sense. But that is to say, and I always wondered about this, why would Jesus have a crook on his team?
Because he was given an opportunity to become a wheat.
Yes. All that gospel, all those miracles, he's given them an opportunity to repent and be converted. And two, I think it becomes a lesson for us to understand how to deal with tares. Mm-hmm. Even in the midst of him being betrayed, he called him a friend. I know we talked about that last week. Let's just get to the scriptures here. All right? Because I don't want us to... My opinion should mean nothing. Scripture should be... All right, so I'm in Romans. Chapter 1, verse 17 through 32. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That means when I go through those first seven steps there that I'm talking about, every time you move from step 1 to step 2 to step 3, guess what you're moving in?
Faith.
So, man, when I get to level 7, I got some good faith. You move from faith to faith. From glory to glory. So those steps are the maturity level and the closeness of relationship and alignment that you have with God. So the righteousness of being in right standing from God is revealed from faith to faith for our class from one step to the next step. Which is why that barista got $2 because I was operating in a higher degree of faith. I know it's kind of funny, but that, he almost, amen. Okay. All right. As it is written, the just shall live by
faith.
It's faith walk. Okay, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Boom, here we go. Righteousness means I'm in right standing with God. Unrighteousness means I'm not in right standing with God, or I'm out of alignment. Can I be out of alignment and still know the truth?
Yes.
Boom, it just said it there.
My version says, for the wrath of God is revealed from the from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness.
Why would anybody want to suppress the truth?
Because it reflects on them.
It
interferes.
Shows
their weakness.
Oh, Sandra just said it.
Interferes with what they want.
Oh, that's right. But it interferes with what they want to do, so they twist it and they suppress it. Alright? So, I ain't calling out no names or anything like that, but I'm just saying, when I go through and I'm looking at scripture that I grew up with, and all of a sudden this thing gets twisted, and all of a sudden it says, what's right ain't right no more. What's wrong is good. Alright, that kind of throws me off a little bit. Well, no, it doesn't throw me off.
That's what the world is all about. Well, it's making wrong, right, and right, wrong.
Well, that's what the parable is revealing. The world is like this right now. So don't get all helter-skelter. Oh, my God, the church is just
crazy.
Thank you. All right. Crazy. Because judgment is coming, and it is not necessarily our... Oh, my God, here we go. It is not our job to go and clean up the church. Because when you do so, if you have flaws... Come on now, I'm a person who get out of the good ground in the drive-thru of Starbucks. You really want me to be judging who needs to stay and go?
No.
Oh, y'all just hurt my feelings.
If we would all take responsibility and keep our own hearts clean, then there would be less.
And we would be a better testimony to those to see, ah.
Because there's those.
So if you're talking about cleaning the church up, what's the tares and the wheat? If you've got a member of a family that's the leader of the family, something, you throw them out. You may be taking some weed out with him. It's
that's a good example of what he's saying here spiritually.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
You got to be, because good people are, because those roots are interconnected. And if you pull one of them out, you're going to pull some good people. And when the world see, well, that's a good person right there, and they're over there now? Just.
I think we see it when we encounter people who have church hurt.
Oh, ain't no hurt like church hurt. Mm. Woo! Yeah. Where does church hurt come from?
From people being self-righteous.
Self-righteous in the church. That thorny ground. That thorny ground will mess you up, boy, I tell you. Because the cares of the world will cause you to be unfruitful. That's why what Chuck thinks, Chuck's politics, Chuck's political party, all that stuff, I got to be careful that doesn't get in, those thorns don't get in the way of me being unfruitful in the kingdom. I got to love. And I apologize. Because I think I've been doing a lot better over the last several years. Because I follow those steps. And so step 5, mercy, often comes into play. But after analyzing what the servants do in this parable, I'm starting to get a renewed and maybe a clarified view from a spiritual perspective. I may not like what I see. I may not even agree with what I see. But judgment's coming. It's not my job. And as crazy as things get, he's still on the throne. And the judgment is still coming. And every knee still shall bow. So I don't need to freak out right now when I know that God is in control. I just need to love, because love might convert some. Thank you, Roger. Love right. might convert somebody right. to come over into. Because if I judge them, then they're really going to kick yeah. religion to the curb. And who wants to sit in a church service and feel condemned?
Right.
No.
Well,
nobody knows either.
And I think we as people in our own flesh have a tendency to separate some sins as worse than others.
Oh! We're going there. I don't know if we're going to get there today, but you got to say that again.
Well, it's true. So, God gave me...
Wait, you got to say that. Speak it to the speaker.
I said that we, as in our own flesh, as people tend to separate some sins being worse than others. And it was just recently that Susan and Carolyn and Deb and I were having a conversation about that. And I just put it into a different perspective, but you can apply it. And I feel like God showed me this. So I like to watch HGTV. And so sometimes when you're watching HGTV and they're house hunting or whatever they're doing, sometimes it's two women together and two men together. And so if I go, oh, well, I can't watch that, click, then I'm having a reaction towards the sin that so disgusts me. And that's my personal opinion towards that sin. And this is just an example. And what I was telling them is, if I'm going to turn off the TV when I see a gay couple on there, then I need to turn off the TV when I hear language, violence, murder, gossip, adultery. You know, and if that's the case, then I can never turn the TV on.
One of the arguments that I saw online is, if you're going to judge this according to the Old Testament law, then you also got to judge shaving.
Good. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so I see where you're going there, but that's why you really want. We're not going to get to it today, but that's why I also want to spend some time in understanding what is the truth in the midst of all the new buzzword, false information, conspiracies, and things like. What is the truth? And we as Christians need to know how to get to the truth. And I don't know if we're going to get to it today, but it's in the scripture, and so we need to analyze. But the answer is real easy.
The bottom line is you got to rely on the Holy Spirit to show you.
Well, you just took care of next week's lesson. Yeah, I'm trying to build up a little bit here. But we understand these parables. We have to get an understanding. He said the people in the good ground have an understanding. We got to have an understanding. I never had this conversation when I was growing up in church. Never had this conversation. What's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. And if you ain't right, then you're gone.
Think about it this way. Just because you got upset with the barista and almost lost your Jesus in the Starbucks line.
I didn't lose my Jesus. I just...
But I don't think this week can turn you off and walk away from your teaching.
That's true.
We're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God, and we're all going to mess up.
I like what she said, and in essence, she's saying this. You can judge this sin because you know, or you can judge this as sin because you know, oh my God, that's just so appalling. And yet on the other side, be doing something that's still sin, but because in your mind, you've judged this as a greater sin. All right. Oh, we're going to hit this today. But we're going to hit this. All right. Because you're still going through the process of sinning, and now all of a sudden that puts you in the thorny soil, because now you become self-righteous. Woo! Yeah. See?
Self-righteousness is a sin, just like the rest of it.
So I'm going to give you, exactly. So I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you a hint. When I ask you what tears look like today, it's not just all of these different social issues that are infiltrating the church. Style of music, style of worship, too much bass, too much this, Christian rap, it is not just all of that stuff that seems to be infiltrating our traditional Christian values, but there's some other tares out there, and they look like religious people. So we got to bring all that in there, because otherwise we will be like the religious people of the day who are Pharisees. Oh, we're going to go through the scripture, Sandra. Don't worry about it. We got this covered. We're going to go through the scripture, because I need to show you in scripture how tares also look like religious folk.
But if Satan can get us sidelined on all this other stuff.
Yes.
And we're worried about the delusion instead of our own, focusing on our own growth, so that then we have...
One of the things
discernment.
That we... Yes, well, and there you go. Discernment and judgment may be two different things.
And there's a fine line.
All right. So here we go. Let's go through some more scripture here. All right, we're running out of time. I really at least want to get through Romans if we can. Okay, here we go. And well, we're out of time. If we need to stop for a little bit, we need to stop. Anyway, let me just keep going. All right. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. They know the truth.
Yeah.
For God showed it unto them.
I want to read my version.
Go ahead. You read your version.
Because that which is known about God is evident within them.
Which means they must have been in good ground at one point in time.
It says, for God made it evident to them.
Woo! And even if he... Look, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I used to go hunting. Didn't catch nothing. But we see God.
But you got to get to the end of that verse, so that men are without excuse.
Absolutely. You can look at nature. You can look at photosynthesis. You can look at how the tide and the gravitational pull of the moon keeps our oceans from becoming stagnant. You can just look at how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God lives.
Amen.
So you don't have an excuse.
No.
We don't have an excuse. All right. Verse 22, 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Ooh. Wow. And their foolish heart was darkened. They're so smart
that
they're stupid.
Yeah, that's right. I know a lot of smart people.
Susan said she knows a lot of smart, stupid people. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Verse 22. This is scary. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. You better be careful what you Google. I rely on Google a lot, but I got to be careful what I...
That's right.
Verse 23. Oh, here we go. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So basically, we're talking about idolatry here.
Yes.
And not just idolatry that we saw in the Old Testament, and even in the Exodus when they create the golden calf and all the rest of those types of things or whatever. What does idolatry look like today? And what we're seeing is tears.
So many idols today.
They're bringing up the idols, whether it's in the music, whether it's in the worship. Susan talked about tradition. You could have some Southern tradition in there. I grew up with stuff in church. I still don't know what it meant today. And then all of a sudden I found out what it meant. And I'm like, why am I doing that? I'm going to just talk to black people church now. Put your finger in there. Man, when I found out what that was, I'm like, what? Okay, let's get back to it.
In the Baptist church I grew up in the 50s,
yeah.
If you weren't Baptist, you weren't going to heaven because you didn't do this right, you didn't do that right, and you didn't do the other thing right. And I thought, what about all my poor friends in these other churches? They're going to hell. I was stupid.
I'm Baptist and Pentecostal. I'm a Baptist. And boy, you know, there's just something. I'm kind of like Riddick and, you know, the fury in me or what, you know. I mean, I hear some crazy stuff coming out of the Pentecostal side. I'm like, really? The Baptist in me tells me that ain't right. You need to be loving folk, you know. And then when I'm on the Baptist side, I'm like, oh, okay, the Pentecostal side of me says we need to get a greater understanding of what we're, you know. But anyway, yeah. Woo! Boy, it just makes your head spin. I'm so glad I know the truth. I just need to stay in the good ground. All right, here we go. A couple more minutes here. All right. When we get false doctrine and get so smart in the Bible, all right, that we use it to serve our own purposes and our own agendas, thorns, we are not with God. We are against God. And now the holiness of God is brought down to a level that we think that God's going to accept any Tom, Dick, and Harry thing. Tears. But I still got love for them. All right. Verse 24. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. What's that? Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. And worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I can't get caught up in the things that God created. I got to get caught up in God himself, the creator, because we take things that God created and we pervert them. Or we put more credence and faith in the people or the person who God created rather than the creator. Because everybody's crazy. I got the Holy Spirit flowing in me. I know this word or whatever, and I can still get tripped up because somebody don't do right at the stoplight. Come on now. You really want to put your trust in people? I mean, I'm a good guy. You really want to put your trust in people? No. All right. Verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. What kind of vile affections? For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
I ain't talking about that. This is the section I go to New Testament wise as far as somebody's
going to
ask me about homosexuality.
Yeah. I love you, but I got to give you some truth here or whatever. And you know, I ain't judging you. But verse 27. And likewise also, it ain't just the women? Likewise also, the men leaving the natural use of the woman, but that doesn't have anything to do with the bell. Al, you keep ringing that bell. And likewise also, the men leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or convenient. I don't know what your version over there says, Susan.
Mine says which was...
Hold on, let me go on and put a disclaimer. This is PG. This ain't PG anymore. What is this?
In the same way, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving... in their own persons, the due penalty of their error.
Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, which means to give him glory in what they're doing, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So God just takes the protective covering off of you. Whatever happens, just happens. But don't be scared. Judgment's still coming. I still got a love. All right. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Oh, here we go. It ain't just the unnatural stuff. It's got some natural stuff going on too. Here we go. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication. I ain't got nothing. Okay, there you go. Okay. Yeah. I heard somebody say one day, I'm so glad I don't listen to worldly music, and I don't listen to this, and God delivered me from that, and you just got the girl in the church pregnant. Come on now. Self-righteous. Yeah, I know you laughing. You laughing, Matt, but it's real. It wasn't me either. All right. Wickedness. Covetousness, which means I see something that somebody else got and I want it. Well, there's nothing wrong with that until you want to hit them in the head to get it. All right. Maliciousness, full of envy. There's nothing wrong with envy until it gets evil in your mind. I don't like it because you got murder. That just lets me. That's not just physical murder, though. There's a whole lot of it going around. You can kill dreams. You can kill debate. Oh, I guess I better be careful with that one. You mean to tell me debate got listed on the sins along with?
We're going to debate the first four that you just read off.
Strife, okay, all right. Which means you can debate until you want to hit somebody in the head, and then it becomes strife. Okay, okay. Deceit. Malignity. I got to look that one up. I don't
malice.
Know. Oh, malice. Oh, okay. So evil intent.
Mine says evil mindedness.
Okay, good. Well, that certainly won't put you in the good ground.
You get the gossip.
Mm-hmm. Oh, whispers,
gossipers.
Yeah. Nobody ever gossips in the gossip. They gossip about the first four. But anyway, let's keep going.
Well, then they preface their gossip with, I need to tell you this so you can pray about it.
That's right.
You know, one of the saddest things that happened is, I'm not going to tell you what church it was, But I had a teacher who was with me, and all of a sudden I got a call from the church saying, you might need to do more teaching than your co-teacher. I'm like, why is that? Because he might have a little problem. I'm like, well, how do you know he got a little problem? His wife gave a prayer request at the women's thing or whatever, and all of a sudden, she gave a prayer request at the women's thing? All of a sudden it's coming back over here or whatever? I know his heart. I didn't judge. He was teaching the next Sunday. All right, backbiters. What does that say about the backbiters? I didn't look all this
slanders.
Stuff. Slanders. All right. Haters of God. Despiteful. Proud. Pride is in there.
Despiteful.
That's what.
Violent.
Mm.
That's insolent.
Insolent. That's disobedient. All right. Boasters. Yeah. Inventors of evil things. Man, disobedient to parents. Oh, my own kids. Not my kids, but somebody else's kids. Without understanding. Here we go again. Covenant breakers without natural affection. Implacable. Unmerciful. Who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Which means they're happy when they see other folk come out the closet. They're happy when they see other people doing. Ooh, they celebrate this stuff. Let me do this, and then, because we are way over. But I want to get to a good point. Let's stop it here. All right, if you got to go here. All right. Here's some things that I saw. This is from Spurgeon. Will you kindly notice that according to my text, knowledge is of no use if it does not lead to holy practice. They knew God. It was no good to them to know God, for they glorified him not as God. Just as a loving, kind Santa Claus is going to let everything go. Because he loves everybody and everything that you're doing. No, he don't. So my theological friend over there, who knows so much that he can split hairs over doctrines, it doesn't matter what you think or what you know unless it leads you to glorify God and to be thankful.
Yes. Amen.
That's
anything
step four.
That doesn't glorify God.
There you go. So you can do whatever you want to do if you can sit up and say, God is happy about this. That's all right. David Guzik or whatever, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. In every rebellion and disobedience against God, we exchange the truth of God for the lie of our own choosing. And we set the creature before the creator. And then he adds, Paul uses a definite article. It is not a lie, but it is the lie. And the lie is essentially idolatry, he says, which puts us in the place of God. And then he points back to the lie in Genesis 3:5, which is what the enemy said to Eve. You will be like God. All right, I'm going to close with this. See also Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, for whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. That's what she said. So, while you may not be gay, if you do the other things, then you put yourself in judgment as well. That's why every day I wake up, God, keep my mind in the good ground. Because I've got less chance of getting judged by loving somebody than I do about condemning somebody and sending them to hell, because I don't want to be following them down. Oh, wait a minute. Boom, there you go. And then there's a line on my ankle, and then I'm not trying to go out like that. All right, verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Let God be the judge, because he knows their heart.
Amen.
Is my friend going to go to heaven? I hope so. It's not up to me. I'm going to come loving it in there. All right? It's going to keep loving.
See, that takes a load off of us.
You got to
look at that as a blessing.
And it keeps my mind so I ain't running around. Oh, my God, the church is going to hell in the handbasket. Oh, my God. Oh, no, they let him in the church now. Oh, my God. Oh, you got to know about that.
I
want to
see the size of it.
All right, I like what Guzik says. Let's go back to what you said. All right, notice that the moralist is not condemned for judging others, but for being guilty of the same things that he judges others for. It's about homosexuality. It's about everything else that he put on that list that I might do on a daily basis. I don't know.
Hold on.
This is something the moral man would object to. Here we go. I'm not like them at all. But Paul will demonstrate this is true. So I'm not going to fall into the danger of being judged, because the only thing you're going to be able to judge me on is love. All right. That's the scripture. We're out of time, but let's take some thoughts or whatever. I hope you all appreciate me spending some time here. We'll finish this up next week, because I got to get back to what Sandra's saying. But all this stuff, how do we know the truth? How can we find out the truth? I know it's through the Holy Spirit, but we need to go through the scriptures, so we got scriptures and not Chuck's and everybody else's opinion in here about it. Because while this seems hard and difficult, when you see all the doctrine, all the stuff that's out there, you can't wrap. Where the heck do? How do we get here?
One is not any worse than the other. Sin is
justified themselves in their own thing.
Yeah.
Make them feel
and make God sprinkle some holy water over this stuff or whatever. No. So, but thank God he's still on the throne. And as long as I stay in the servant lane and not in the reaper lane, I'm good. Judgment passes me by out of love. Any other thoughts or comments before we end? Remember what the parable of the servants did. Before they went out there and start plucking weeds, they said, What do you want us to do? Do you want us to pluck this up? And you will get the instructions of what servants are supposed to do. Take care of the garden. Tares and wheats, take care of them. You put fertilizer on the wheat, put fertilizer on the tear too. Just do your job. Stay in your lane. I can't, I tell you, I ain't always stayed in my lane. I'm going to stay in my lane right now. All right, any other thoughts or comments before we end? All right, we will be all over the book of John next week, if Jesus tarries.